You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
I wanted to remind us and ask each one of us today to be reinvigorated. Reinvigorated by the message of Christ. Be reinvigorated by the Spirit of God. That word reinvigorated, it means to give new energy, strength, commitment, and clarity. Be reinvigorated by the message of Christ. See, I want us to be reminded about God's heart and the cause of Christ in this season. You know, this month, it's more than merely just a celebration, amen? And we have the wonderful opportunity as disciples of Jesus, as followers of Christ, to point people to the Savior of all humanity. I personally think that's pretty exciting. I don't know about you this morning, but that gets my heart pumping, that we have the opportunity to point people to the Savior of the world. We have, you maybe have never thought about all this, but we officially have the cure for sin. We have the cure for sin. We have the cure for people being separated from God. And His name is Jesus. Jesus Himself calls it like this in John 18:37 on the screen this morning. Pilate therefore said to Him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. For this cause He was born. For this cause He came into the world, to point people to the truth that God sent His Son to die on a cross, to be buried and rise again, so that everyone's sin could be forgiven and restored in relationship. Amen." And I know for some of us, oh yeah, I've heard that before. Be reinvigorated by it. It shouldn't just be, oh yeah, yeah, no, yeah, of course. Yeah, we're Christians, right? No, it should have our hearts pumping on the edge of our seats. It's like, that's right. That's why I'm here today. That's why I'm in the kingdom. That's why I'm part of the church. That's why every morning when I step foot into my workplace or my school or my uni or wherever my feet tread, I'm on the edge, on my tippy toes, on the edge of my seat, ready to share the hope of Jesus with people. Amen. See, we have this wondrous opportunity to be part of a family of God that invites people into friendship with God. We have this amazing opportunity to share Jesus with friends and family and community and have them hear about finding Jesus. We have this amazing opportunity to join Jesus in the cause. How good is that? He doesn't just say, "Here's salvation. Now have a seat and wait for me to come back." No, no. He's like, "For this cause, now be one of my disciples and join me in the cause." He's asking us to join him in the cause that He was born for, giving others the opportunity to hear the truth that He spoke about in John 18. Hear the truth that God has made a way for everybody to come into a relationship with God and be forgiven. Hear the truth that God has given each person the opportunity to have the gap erased. The gap of relationship. The gap of not knowing a Heavenly Father. The gap of being lonely, to be erased through Jesus. You know, God spoke the words through the prophet Isaiah some 700 years before Christ was born, and He shares it like this. "All right then, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call Him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. You're going to end up being reinvigorated by this morning. I tell you the truth. When you begin to get a grasp of 700 years before Jesus even entered planet Earth, God released through the prophet Isaiah these words, stating what was going to come to pass. And we'll call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When we talk about joining Jesus or joining God in his mission, God's mission is God didn't want to be separated from us. So often we think that it's like, oh, he's done this just so that we don't have to be cursed anymore. Well, that's part of it. So we're not living under the curse of sin. Yeah, that's part. He didn't want to be separated from us. His mission, as soon as everything went wrong in the garden, his mission became, I need to find a way to actually have them come back into relate. I hate being separated from my creation. So 700 years before, he gets the prophet Isaiah to prophesy. It's like, I've got a plan. I'm going to bring this all together and I'm going to be with you again. I'm not going to be separated from you anymore. I'm actually sending myself to be with you. Revealed as Jesus, but what does Emmanuel mean? God is with us. God is with us. See, God didn't want space. God didn't want separation between humans and him. He sent Jesus, literally naming himself, God is with us. So powerful. And I'll put this out there this morning just so everyone can hear it again. He loves humanity. He does not hate humankind. We are his beautiful creation. He's not a fan of the sin, but he loves humankind. He loves his creation. He didn't wait for us to move. He moved first, and he prophesied the fact that he was going to move first. There wasn't this, okay, if you do this, then I'll do that, and you know, like siblings can be sometimes. It's like, if you do the dishes this time, I promise you that I'll do it for the next month. Yeah, right. Just planning on being a good lawyer. He moved first. He didn't wait for humanity to be good. I mean, he definitely wasn't going to wait for us to be great, but he didn't even wait for us to be good. He's like, I'm moving first. The book of Romans lays it down like this. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That's how much God loves humanity. That's how much God loves his created people. He doesn't stop there. He didn't just close the gap to be with us. It gets better. Matthew 1:21 unpacks it like this. She'll give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. Give him that name because he will save his people from their sins. The name of Jesus literally means God saves. God didn't want to just be with us. He wanted to save us. God is with us. God saves. I don't know about you, but that reinvigorates my spirit. That's a spiritual adrenaline shot to my soul, amen? I pray for you that it's beginning to stir you today. Matthew 1:21-23. Let's read out those three verses there. She will give birth to a son. You'll name him Jesus. Give him that name because he will save his people from their sins. All this happened to make clear the full meaning of what the Lord said through the prophet. Who was the prophet? Isaiah. So all bringing everything together some 700 years later. The virgin will be pregnant and she will give birth to a son. They will name him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God saves, God with us. To be clear, God came to be with us. Let's not think it was some other reason or something else. It's not like, oh, I haven't been back there for a while. I kind of need a vacation. I'm just going to go back and hang out on earth for a bit. No, it wasn't like, oh, left my car at the airport. No, it he had a deliberate purpose. He wanted the gap to be erased, wanted sin to be erased, wanted to be with us, and wanted to save us. This is what we carry inside of us. This is the message of hope that we have in this season. It's not merely a festive season. There is so much more to this season. God came to save us and allow humankind, not just to be humankind anymore, but to be his children. You know the difference between if, like, you just see some kid walking down the street, it's like, that's just some kid. But when you see your own kid, it's like, that's my child. The way they're acting right now may make you want to say that's my child or whose child is that, but that doesn't change the fact that that is your child. See, when God sees us now, he doesn't just see some person walking through life, getting from A to B, from birth to death. He sees his children. When he looks at you right now, he sees his children. When he looks at other people who don't know him yet, he's like, I want them to be my children. We have the power and the opportunity to make that so by sharing the hope of Jesus, by pointing them to a loving Heavenly Father. The lie has gone out for too long that God hates people, that because of the lifestyles that people choose, that God hates them. God does not hate them. His heart quite obviously states that he wanted to be with all humanity, but not just be with them, save all humanity. That is the heart of God. And I want to encourage you, if that's not currently your language, let's begin to make it so. When you begin to look at people or people groups and maybe your innate nature begins to speak words over specific people or groups because of things that they've done, things that they represent, the Word of God needs to be our default. Not our old nature, not the nature of culture passed down, not what grandpa used to say about different people groups, whatever it is for you and your family, amen? It's true for Aussie culture. I'm not sure about any other place in the world, but that's it's so true. And I just want to encourage you, when God comes and saves us and is with us, he wants to renew every part of ourselves, including those bits, so that when we look at someone who represents something, all we see is that's someone who God wants to make his child. Compassion stirring in our hearts, empathy stirring in our hearts, God's mission for this cause stirring in our heart. Amen. Galatians 4 says it like this, verse 4 to 5. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. I just wanted to share this scripture again. It's not just about saving us from the law. It's not just about fulfilling the prophecy that happened in Isaiah. That we might receive adoption to son. That is the reason, the restoration. And I love that it there's no such thing as gender anymore when it comes to God's heart towards us. He doesn't see layers and levels of people. That's a man, therefore he's more important. Or that's a woman, just a step down. No. Every single person is adopted into sonship. Amen. Let that ring home for a little bit. And I know that even for some people hearing that right now, you're wrestling deep inside you because perhaps in your family of origin, there were people in your family that were more important than you. That is not God's heart for you. That is not God's heart towards you. That is the brokenness of mankind that's been sent through culture of families. God wants to come and smash that. You have the opportunity to make things right in your family right now, to smash that culture, that has been passed down. Let the Spirit of God move through you. Let Him restore you so that you don't do it out of brokenness. Do it out of a beautiful heart, a restored heart, a renewed heart, a heart of sonship. Because you want to bring your whole family into that place as well. Amen. It may mean that you need to take some time in prayer and fasting. Maybe there's still some people in your immediate family who are still operating outside of that place. Prayer and fasting, and break it in Jesus' name. I see some people pondering. So, ooh, all of a sudden it became about what God wants to do in me. Amen. God wants to keep moving through all of us. God wants to keep moving through all of our families. Can I encourage you, if your family is already operating in that place, can you be a word of encouragement and blessing to people who are actually in that prayer and fasting journey of seeing God actually come through? Can I encourage you that if you see another family already operating in that place and you're like, I'm in a prayer and fasting, can I encourage you to go to those people and say, I'm that person that needs encouragement from you. I've seen that God's done it in your family. Can you join with me and encourage me as I walk this journey with mine? It's what the body of Christ, we're not ships passing in the night. We're not just, oh yeah, we see each other on Sunday. We need each other to encourage each other as the body unites together. Amen? That was not part of my message. But I know that God's moving and speaking to hearts today. Amen. See, God's heart is for all humankind, is to save us, to be with us, for us to be His children. So today, what do we do with this information? Because if we just hear it and we go, that is awesome. But what do I do with it? I hope that you ask yourself that question after every sermon that you hear. What do I do with that? How do I activate that on Monday? How do I see my family go further in the things of God? How do I see my workplace hear about this wonderful hope of Jesus? Firstly, whether you're in the room or you're watching online today or at a later time, firstly, if this is the first time that you have heard that God sent His Son Jesus to save you and to be with you and to make you one of His beloved children, the first thing that you can do with this information is respond to it. That's the first thing that you can do. What do I mean by respond to God's love towards you? Well, we're going to have an opportunity at the end of the service for you to pray a prayer, confessing that Jesus is Lord. And when we do that, this is what God wants to do in that very moment. God wants to exchange your brokenness. God wants to exchange your sin, your loneliness, your separation. He wants to exchange those things for forgiveness and wholeness to make you part of His family. He wants to renew every part of you. I don't know about you, but that gets me just a little bit excited. This is the cause. This is the reason. What I'm talking about right now is the reason that God actually sent His Son Jesus for this cause. Secondly, the second thing that you can do with this information is be reinvigorated. Be reinvigorated by the mission. Be reinvigorated by the cause of Christ. Be reinvigorated with new spiritual energy and strength and passion and excitement to share His wonderful hope. Because it's one thing just to be excited about it and go, this is awesome. And you're in the corner just like, Jesus. You may be doing those ones. I'm happy for you to do that. As long as it leads you to a place where you're like, I have to share this with someone. I have to actually share the hope of Jesus with someone. I have to share this wondrous hope of Jesus with others. 1 John 5:11 says this. This passage of scripture is powerful. It's going to rock you this morning. Amen. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because It is the testimony of God. Anyone read this before? Knocked me for a six. God has a testimony. God has a testimony. But God's testimony is greater because it's the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. I don't know about you, but I'm happy for God's testimony to be my testimony. Amen. I don't know whether you can feel it right now. I feel the presence of God so weighty in this place right now. God's testimony is that he's given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He went on a mission, and his mission still goes today, and he fulfilled his mission, and now he's saying, can you join me in the cause? Can you join me in my testimony? Can you tell the world? Can you share the hope of Jesus? Can you share my testimony that is Jesus? And I just want to encourage all of us, if we believe that God sent his Son, if we believe that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit testify together, three in agreement, if we believe God's testimony, if we believe that Jesus is God's testimony, if we believe that Jesus was and is part of the mission of God, God's mission, I can't think of a better way to say it than this, reconciling humankind to himself. If we believe it, it's time to share it a little bit more. It's time to share it a little bit more. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God's heart was to reconcile all humanity to himself. Now, because of Jesus and because of our response, he actually passes on that ministry of reconciliation to his church. Amen. We get to join him in his original mission. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And we're not called to do that either. We're called to share the testimony of God, Jesus, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Just leave that scripture up for a little bit there. I want to encourage you. Maybe you're like, I'm an ambassador of God. I am good to go. Sign me up. Where do I go? Someone tell me where to go. I'll go. Maybe you read that, therefore we're ambassadors of Christ, and you're like, oh, what does that mean? Do I have to do something more? Lord, don't let that be car park duty. It's funny because I say that as a joke. I think about any area where I get to actually be close to people and smile and shake people's hands and ask them how their week's been. I'm like, that is awesome. Sign me up to all of those things, amen. Getting to be with people, so good. So maybe when you read that, you think, therefore we're ambassadors of Christ, and you're like, I'm not worthy. Maybe you actually have the thought rushing through, I'm not worthy to do such a thing. I would never be picked to be the ambassador of a nation, let alone the ambassador of Leopold. I want to encourage you, it's not about what you do or don't do. When you accepted Christ as Savior, when the gap was erased, when sin was erased, you were found righteous in God because of Jesus. Yes, I understand that there's things that you've done. There's things that I've done. Yes, I understand that there's things that maybe you still struggle with. There's things that we all still struggle with. But we're disciples of Jesus, and we're following him every day, and we're becoming more Christ-like every day, amen. You are found worthy and righteous in Christ to have the banner of ambassador on your lapel, amen. It's a role that God has actually given to you already. It's not something you have to strive for. You don't have to pray anymore. Feel free to pray more if you want to, but it's not going to get you ambassadorship. You've already got it. Pray more will get you to hear the voice of God more, so that you can actually be an ambassador in a way that maybe in the natural you wouldn't be able to be. You'll hear his voice about who he wants to speak to you, who you're representing him to today, amen? You'll hear his voice as you spend more time with him. So this second thing, sharing, I just want to encourage you today, be actively invigorated as you're an ambassador for Christ, to act on his behalf in sharing God's testimony. God's testimony has become our testimony as ambassadors. It's our right, our privilege to be able to share that with others. Just as the team comes this morning, in John 20, 21, it says this. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." I want to encourage you today. You may think, oh, you know, I'm just not good at that type of stuff. But are you good at just having a chat to someone? Are you good at just sitting down with someone and having a cup of tea? Are you good at having a coffee with someone and asking them, so tell me your story? Because I want to encourage you. That is where most good conversations start. It doesn't start with going and grabbing a milk crate from out the back and standing on it and just... It normally, a good conversation that leads to a heart-to-heart where you get to be an ambassador and share the testimony of God normally starts with a healthy conversation. It means a lot more to people to feel like someone cares about them. Because as an ambassador of Christ, when you take the time and take that moment to be with people, what you're actually showing them is that God cares about them. Amen. Jesus invites you to join him in being sent to the many. Not just being sent to the many, being sent to the one. Jesus invites you to activate. Jesus invites you to implore humankind to be reconciled to God and become right with God, to become the righteousness of God. Jesus is the gift that is greater than anyone's sin. Amen. So how? How do we do this? By simply talking to people. By simply listening to people. By asking to hear their story. How do we do that? Hi, my name's Lee. Tell me your story. Oh, it seems too simple, right? You could go to Bible college and learn that, but you got it here for free today. Another question. You might want to write these things down because it's going to help you. How did you get to where you are today? Giving people opportunity to share their heart and share their journey so that you can introduce the hope of the world, so that their story can be changed, so their hopelessness can have hope. Amen. See, maybe after spending some time with them, maybe you get to share the testimony of God. Jesus, hope of the world. Maybe after hearing their story, maybe you can say some things like this: I have a hope that is greater than, what was the thing that was hopeless in their world? I have a hope that is greater than, insert said thing. I have a joy that is greater than. I have a peace that is greater than. I have a truth that is greater than. I have a God who wants to heal that. I have a God that wants to reveal his love. I have a God that wants to know you personally. I know that God loves you and wants the best for you because he's done it for me. I want to encourage you this morning that it's for this cause that Christ was sent, and it's for this cause that we join him in. Amen.